This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
So we're back, baby, to Pete and Sebastian Show. What is going on, man?
What is going on? I have to tell you, last week episode, a lot of comments on how good it was. I don't mean to toot our own horn, but I mean, come on. Someone's got to.
No, yeah, listen, I saw on the news just 2 days ago. You ever see these newscasters come on a few hours before the actual newscast, and it's just a little promo where they say, when the riots broke out and blah, 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 we were the first on the street.
We were there when a Comcast worker fell 30 feet to the street from a telephone pole.
We were the first ones to... And I'm like, they toot their own horn. So, you know, we actually... Let's use this as a future bumper. All right, you ready? 3, 2, Sebastian Maniscalco promo for the Pete and Sebastian Show.
When you're looking for up-to-date travel tips, look no further than the Pete and Sebastian Show.
No! That was terrible.
Dude! I'm starting to... The only two parts of this show I think you like are when we talk about what to tip and flying. I mean, we're not two trick ponies over here. You turned us into some radio version of Condé Nast.
What's wrong with that? We'd love to have them as a sponsor. No sponsor, man. There's no sponsorship in sight, by the way.
Things are looking up. I've been looking the landscape over, and it's covered with four-leaf clover. Oh, things are looking up.
Petey Biscuit, Jimmy from Boston. So, Petey, you're like a superhero without the cape, huh? Yeah, because Batman's always out there running around chasing down old lady socialites for cutting them off and slipping them the bird. You could call yourself Super Fruity. And if you want to do any good with these powers, you should probably follow around Biscuit and make sure he stops stealing Yoo-Hoo and Skittles out of convenience stores, huh? Later.
I was at a hotel yesterday, and when I got back from the gig and I went to my hotel at night, Friday night, I was in Shelby, North Carolina. Fun little show at a theater. It was really nice. But I get up to the second floor of my hotel, and I come out, as I'm coming down the hallway, it's loaded with boys and girls on a college, turned out to be like Erie State College. And they were all on the boys and girls Division III basketball team. And they were getting ice and hanging out. And they were in for the night, you know? So I go in, I go in my room, whatever. I come back out about 2 hours later to go get some ice and something to drink. A lot of making out. Three different areas of making out with these kids in the hallway. Right? Just sucking face because they got to share rooms. And I just started laughing because I can't remember the last time I sucked face with the wife in public. And I'm wondering, because you're not married and, you know, there's a lot of pet. Do you still do? Can you remember the last time you did a public makeout?
We do public kissing, you know, like a peck here, a peck there. But there's no full.
No,
there's
tongue,
there's no full blown lobby makeouts with, you know, I don't cradle her. Her head in my hand. Right. There's none of that going on.
No, I'm not saying you're doing that famous World War II photo with the sailor and the nurse, but I'm just saying, do you slip tongue in public?
Ever? No, there's no slipping tongue. Why? Are you doing this still?
No, I mean, I'll try from time to time, and my wife just gets it, like, she's like, what are you, fucking white trash? Get away from me. What are we two?
Yeah. So, where are you doing this?
I'm not. I've tried. What? Well,
it's like, where are you trying to slip tongue? You're 41 years old.
All right. 3 days ago, we were in a supermarket, and you know, especially being in this small town, I'm still amazed how it's empty all the time. We bang a left down an aisle, the frozen foods, and it was empty. So I looked over at her, and I grabbed her, and I went in, and I was like, let's make out. And I tried to make out, and she's like, let's not. Fucking white trash. Ew.
Are people still French kissing?
If they are, they're not calling it that. Jesus.
I mean, that was cool when you were 17. You know, that you get a little tongue going, and people still doing it.
Of course. You don't make out. I mean, obviously, when you know, I would only get too personal in the old Saccharoni, but then it goes a little further than lips, right?
Yeah, a little bit. But I mean, you're talking about, something 16-year-olds do in the middle of the grocery store.
Look, man, there are still some things you did at 16 that you do now, and I'm not saying the grocery store. Park bench, sun coming down, nobody in eyesight, you lean over, little tongue just in and out, man. 3 seconds in, 3 seconds out, you know? Little touch.
How about a movie theater? Would you do it in a movie theater?
No, man. When I'm in a movie theater, it's all about fucking the movie, man.
Before the movie, you're sitting there, nobody's in the theater.
Previews. I read the posters on the way in, then I go in, I watch the previews, and I watch the movie. If the previews didn't start, I'm looking at my phone. There's no making out in the movie theater.
That was a big makeout place when you were 16.
Outdoor, summertime, beach. You ever make out at the beach? Come on, man. Your tongue jumps out of your mouth. The tongue just jumps out at the beach on its own. But I'm just saying, if you were somewhere alone with Lana outside in public and there was no one within 30 or 40 yards and you leaned over and went to give her a peck, which obviously she'd be into, she always is, but then you tried to tongue it out, would she just roll with it or would she be like, what are you doing here?
I am going to do this tonight with her. And I want to see what the response is. Actually, I'm gonna do one better. I'm gonna try and slip her tongue when people are around. I want to see if she corresponds with.
Well,
that's
the whole point. What would be best if you could somehow catch her at a moment where you're next to her but she's occupied with something else? Then just take out your camera on your phone and give us a panoramic so we can see the radius of how close the closest person is. Then you can put the phone away and you can go in. Let us know how it played out. We'd like a aerial beforehand.
All right, I'll give you the situation and then and I'll go in for the kill. I want to see if she responds. She might pull away.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, does it make a woman more or less classy? Because my wife's thinks it's a class thing. I think, yeah, a little making out's kind of sexy at any age, right? Although when I see it by other people, I'm disgusted.
Well, yeah, when you see it, especially if you're in a line waiting to pay and the couple in front of you is doing a full-blown makeout, that's a little weird, no?
I don't think I've ever seen people making out online at the store.
Oh, I've seen it a lot.
Really?
Oh, it's disgusting.
Don't tease me.
Awful lot of honkies in here.
I'm becoming more social. And I invited a couple comedian friends over Tuesday night. Me and Lana had just finished some muscles. And we decided, call Ahmed Ahmed. He's a comedian that I know. This guy, Brett Ernst. Call him, see if they want to stop by. So I text Ahmed. Come by. He's like, okay, I'm going to come by after my set. After his set, he texts me. He's like, I have another comedian friend with me. Do you mind if she comes over too? And I know her, but I've never hung out with her or anything like that. She's very sweet, very nice. I said, yeah, no problem. Then he texts me, do you mind if her dog comes with her? Now, again, I don't have a dog. It's not like I don't like dogs, but
right.
The dog, I've seen the dog before. It's a pit bull.
What?
It's a
what? How do you get in these situations, man?
It's a pup. It's a puppy pit bull. So I'm trying to be open. I'm trying to be social. I don't want to be a dick.
Come on.
So I said, yeah, no problem. Puppy could come
over. Does she think this might be acceptable because it's still a puppy? Because it's a pit bull, right? A puppy pit bull to me, as opposed to a pit bull, is the difference between a shotgun and a fucking handgun. It's still a gun. You know what I'm saying? Give a fuck. So it came over.
Now, it was cute, I have to admit. Nothing against this comedian that brought the dog over. But I just, I don't know, like, if I, first of all, I don't know, this has become like an epidemic where people are now bringing their dogs out everywhere they go. And they just travel with the dog, and they, I don't get it. But she came over with the dog, that the dog's excited. I'm like, you know, petting it or whatever. And we let it out into the yard there in the back, and we were all talking. And next thing you know, the dog comes in, slides across the kitchen, soaked. The damn dog fell in the pool. I don't know what happened. So now there's little water in the kitchen area. He went back outside and he urinated all over the little patio there we got.
Yeah, like the deck thing,
the
right?
The deck. So I'm thinking,
did this female comedian, no names necessary or anything, did she see you cleaning up this dog piss?
She was inside, and I saw she was in the bathroom when this happened. And I don't care what it is. I'm so clean. I react. I don't let that shit sit. So I'm out there, and I'm cleaning the piss. And she came out. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I said, don't worry about it. I got it handled.
She did the right thing.
Oh, yeah, she did the right thing. She was very sweet. I'm not, but I'm just saying, I got to watch this dog because I don't know if it's going to start chewing stuff because I'm half in the conversation. My eye is kind of wandering around the room looking to see where the dog might be. Because these dogs, you never know what they're going to do. They might chew, start chewing a pillow. I'm not into that.
Who is, man?
But the dog got tired out. I don't know. Something happened. And it ended up sleeping on the little bench we have there on the kitchen table. But, again, would you would have accepted the dog in your home?
Oh, man. I don't know. I got a dog, you know, so on that level.
Or would you bring your dog to somebody's house?
But I would bring my dog to your place. I know it would bother you, but we're really good friends, so I'd be like, get over it. But if it's somebody I don't know as well, then no, man. I would never bring my dog, man. I'd leave it. Sometimes I bring my dog and I just leave it in the Jeep with the top down.
Yeah.
Just fucking, yeah. Why does it have, did she have a car?
Had a car, but again, I don't know what the rule is on puppies. If they can't sit in the car, they urinate all over the car. I don't know the rules, man.
There are no rules. Yeah.
Maybe because I didn't grow up with a dog.
I got a, as you put them, what, how do you put it? What would you have?
Would you would have.
Would you would've? Would you would've? This is a good one, dude. I was saving this one. Now this is like, you know how you see those Survivor shows on Travel and Discover Channel?
Yeah.
They don't teach you how to survive or what to do in a situation like this. As I said, flew out of Erie Airport, right, the other day. I was leaving, my flight was at 6 a.m. just to get over to Cleveland. So I'm coming in at about 5:30, 5:20 in the morning. Still dark out, with snowing. Tiny airport. I got my coffee. I'm coming in, and I go straight to the bathroom, right? And what I like to do, my ritual at the airport, I got my ticket, and then I take my coffee. And on my iPhone, I got the New York Post. And I sit on the crown, on the throne, and I do my thing, and I read it, and then I go through security. Now, as you know, when you go into most airport bathrooms, sometimes the first thing you see are the sinks. Sometimes it's the stalls. Sometimes it's the urinals. It's never the same. It's all different. Mm. So I'm going in. I'm looking at my app for my New York Post. I got my coffee. The stalls are there. I always take the handicap one for a little extra space. I hang up all my stuff. This airport, bro, is tiny, okay? When I say tiny, there was one other flight. Both flights had like six people on them. This was no one at the airport. I'm reading the thing. I finish up, right? I'm still on the bowl reading, but like I'm kind of done, as they say. I hear outside a woman say to someone else, "No, I'll be right there. I just want to go in and change my glasses," right? And as she's saying it, I hear her come in to where I am. And I'm like, what the fuck is she doing? And then I'm like, oh, my fucking dude, I'm shitting in the ladies' room. Are you fucking kidding me? So my first reaction was like, excuse me, but then I'm like, she was in, but she wasn't using a stall. She was apparently putting her contact lenses in. She had just gotten to the airport. So I'm sitting in there, and now I'm done, bro, and I'm up, and I'm zipping, and I'm like, now it's almost worse, because now I'm dressed, so now it looks like this is an attempted rape, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, oh my God, what if more fucking people come in? What do I do? What do I do? And dude, thank God, within about, literally, she was in there for about 2 minutes total, 2.5 minutes. And then I hear the sink go on, and then I hear the little click of the paper towel, and I'm like, no one else come in, no one else. And then she goes out, and bam, I go right out behind her. And the men's room was right there, and I jetted right into that one and washed my hands. Oh, shit.
Wow, man, that's never happened to me.
In that moment, you think you would have yelled out the minute you heard her come in, going, "Excuse me, I'm in here," or you think you would have just sat there and tried to wait for an opening where it was empty?
I would have said something.
You would
because
have.
My mind would have went to, "Oh my God, I'm in the ladies' room. If someone notices that I'm in here, my shoes or whatever, they're going to call the police." And then they're going to come in and go, what the, you know. So I would have made the announcement going, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I picked the wrong bathroom. I'm sorry. Because I know my luck, I would be in jail if I didn't say anything.
Well, by the grace of God, as I said 20 times already, this airport was tiny. But, man, because my fear was, you know, when you get to an airport a little early and, like, within 10 minutes is a mad rush that you feel that you just – got beat. I was afraid like that place was going to fill up with 20 women. Then maybe I was just going to put my head down and walk straight out. Maybe they won't even notice it. Man,
now, if more women came in there, would have waited it out or would have?
I don't know, bro. That's why I was so scared. I guess at some point it would either get to a point where you either have to say, "Ladies, now it's a ladies." Now you're a fucking DJ at a nightclub. "Hey, all ladies in the house." "There's a man up in here, up in here." Oh, shit. Or else you got to just put your head down and, like, you know, fucking walk out and hope.
No, you can't. There's no way you could put your head down and walk out of a woman's bathroom without saying anything.
No, it just takes one woman in the distance as you're walking out. You hear her go, "Excuse me, excuse me, officer."
But oh, flip that around. If a woman walks out of a male bathroom, the guys would just go, "Hey, what's up?" I mean, it would be nothing.
No, they would hit on it.
Y'all gonna make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here.
What do you think of the richer flavor we put into new Purina Dog Chow?
The new richer flavor, superb.
Dogs love it because each nugget is basted with richer flavor. Introducing new, richer tasting Dog Chow.
You know how I'm living now in the small town, Dunkirk, New York. And I got a tendency. You're a lot like me in this way, man. You come wherever you're living, you want things to be as nice as they can where you are. Now, they got this Purina dog factory, and it's right behind Jackie's house. It's in the distance, but you can see it. It's a giant tower. It's right by the train tracks, and every day the train comes in, they're just making this dog food all day and all night. And when the wind blows a certain way, the whole town smells like dog food. And I can't take it. And you, forget it. Even when the wind wasn't blowing this way, you couldn't live in this town. I mean, I try to jog. Just pretend you're jogging, and while you're jogging, someone's just got a cup of Purina dog food an inch away from your nose the entire jog. That's what it's like. It's disgusting, man.
Yeah.
But you know, a lot of people in this town make their living off of the factory, and my own father-in-law, you know, he cuts the lawn there and stuff. So everybody, you know, when there's something in a town that's fucked up and everyone acts like it's not fucked up because they love their town? Like, I'll go, it's fucking, oh, God, it's fucking disgusting, right? And she'll go, Jackie goes, I don't even smell it. I really don't. And I'm like, you don't smell that? You don't smell that? I guess I'm just used to it. Yeah, I guess so, because it stinks, right? So I'm obviously going to be embedded here for well over a year. There's no doubt about that. So I wanted to, I got this guy who's like a lawyer. He's my lawyer. He's actually a lawyer for a big firm, their own private lawyer, but he's a buddy of mine, and he gives me free legal counsel. And I wanted to give this guy a call and see if he could possibly give me some advice on how to deal with this from a legal standpoint, because this is unacceptable. Bro, am I out of line with this? A whole town shouldn't smell like dog food.
I don't think you even have a case here. I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? There's nothing you can...
It's
a business. They're It's a byproduct of what they're doing. So,
yeah, but isn't there like some sort of a law where they got to get some giant filter so by the time the smell comes out of the factory, it doesn't smell like... Look, they're not baking bread over there, bro. This is disgusting. I can't believe that you're taking side of big business.
I'm not taking sides of big business. I just said I don't know what the hell kind of legal action you could take on the neighborhood smelling like dog food.
Well, I'll call my lawyer here.
All right, get him on the phone. Let's see, if we got anything.
Ray, I'm sorry to bother you, man, especially during the weekend, but I got a problem. You know how I moved to this small town?
Sure, in upstate New York.
In the shadows of my wife's house is this giant Purina dog factory, and I already spelled it out for the listeners and for Sebastian here, but in a nutshell, this goddamn factory lets off a smell of Purina dog food all day long, 24 hours a day, and this town is just accepting it. Because, you know, a lot of them make money off it. Is there any legal action we can do to make this dog factory do something with the smell?
See, why is it that you always call me and it's always like some kind of, you know, disaster? Like, whether it's the IRS, you know, cracking down on your sunroof in your office, and now you got dogs smelling Purina. Why is it never, why can't you just get hit by like a car and something with a lot of insurance that's easy, you know, easy fix? I'm not really sure what your repercussions here. I guess the public nuisance of the smell of dog food in your town? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm telling you, first of all, I slipped in a Walmart recently, and I did almost hurt myself. We almost had some there, kid. And the other stuff, it finds me. Now listen, I'm telling Sebastian, I'm trying to jog the other day, and I can't. I literally had to stop my jog because it was as if someone was hovering a cup of dog food 2 inches from my nose, man. Now, I'm supposed to accept that? I appreciate you showing the other humble, the mild side of it all, but come on. We got to get aggressive.
All right. Now, you say this is Purina, right? This is the big dog food company.
Yes, it is. Sebastian, would you accept this, Sebastian, or would you at least make a phone call to your lawyer if you bought a house and you had this smell coming from your house? Am I crazy?
First of all, Ray, I have to apologize that you're even on the phone right now. I told Pete he has no case, and you should only be called with legitimate legal concerns.
Well, no, I mean, we can get aggressive here. I mean, trust me, Pete and I, we've got aggressive before, whether it's... whitening as a business expense or whatever. So I'm,
yeah, teeth whitening as a business expense, and then I got audited. Let's not forget, it didn't work.
That's what I'm saying. It's never easy. It's always some kind of intricate, you know, legal disaster with you. I mean, it's a public nuisance. It's got to be some kind of health hazard. I mean, are you saying that your health is potentially in danger here?
I don't know. I got to do research on Purina dog food. I mean, if this was your neighborhood by your house, you'd already be writing letters.
But that's the problem. People love dogs more than they love people. Okay? What kind of case are we going to have walking into court? You're suing Purina.
Anybody who loves their dog doesn't feed it that shit, first of all. Let's get that out of the way. Meanwhile, half our listeners go, I just opened up a can 10 minutes ago, asshole. So I don't know what you're talking about. But still, isn't there some sort of a giant filter we can make them get to, like, make sure that smell doesn't come through? And, I mean, is it worth sending them a letter just saying, hey, is there anything you can do? Because I can't jog without throwing up.
Yeah, we can whip up a nasty gram and send it out to them. The problem is with Purina, that's like the mafia of upstate New York. They're going to litigate us to death, and they got an army of lawyers on tap, and me and you, Pete, we're small potatoes. I'm a very small, intricate practice. I have one client, you.
Well, what if we go the other route and we say that I was jogging and the stench was so bad, I passed out because it was so fucking bad, and I hurt myself, and if you want me to go away, either get a filter for that thing or give me 30 large.
Yeah, now you're getting creative. I don't think nuisance value is 30 large. I think maybe we're talking about a couple of $100 for pain and suffering here. I'm not quite sure what damages we're going to show, but I mean, you're thinking outside the box.
Right. Where does Pete fall in the level of importance in your client list? Is he near the bottom?
Sebastian, I'm like the poor man Tom Hagen in The Godfather, okay? I guess that makes Pete the poor man Don Corleone. Since my private practice, I've retained one client, and that was Pete, who's come along with me. So we're stuck with each other until the end.
Yeah, he's got big. He represents big dog, and then I'm his little side thing here. So, all right, I guess at the end of the day, all I'm gonna need from you right now, Ray, is some letterhead, and I'll take care of the rest. Can I just? Because if I send a letter with your letterhead at the top, that'll make some noise.
like I said, I can whip up a letter. I'll put it on the nice letterhead. We'll send it out to their. What's it gonna cost? It's 44-cent stamp. We send it out there. And tell them some kind of cease and desist, and see if they'll throw you a couple of dollars.
That's it. Hey, look, if I don't even want money. If they give me money, I'll donate it to the local something. All I'm saying is these people, even the owner of that place, has to drive away at night and sometimes take a whiff and go, I can't believe nobody's saying anything. This is crazy. So we're gonna write. That's great, man. I'll type it up with you, and we'll read it over the air so everyone can see how electric it is, and we'll send that bitch out. All right.
I don't want you to get your hopes up, because like I said, Purina, they're the big, no pun intended, they're the big dogs, and we're nobodies. I don't know if they...
Hey, I want you to do me two things, kid. I want you to get out that letter header and start working on that letter, and right before you do, I want you to sit down and watch Aaron Brockovich. Do you understand? Do you understand? All right.
Once again, you're taking the most, one of the keynote environmental law cases of the past 30 years and comparing that to...
Bro, I have lung problems. I literally have lung problems from this fucking dog place. I'm not kidding with you. This is like, they got to stop getting away with this. A New Yorker has just moved to this little town, a real New Yorker, and things are about to change, man.
This is what Pete's life has become. This guy moved from L.A. He was doing hikes. He was going out to dinners every once in a while. Now he's going on scavenger hunts, and he's dying to shut down Purina. That's what happens when you move to a small town.
Everybody in the town probably works for Purina. The entire jury pool is going to be Purina employees or executives.
Well, we're going to do all this as anonymous as we can out of the gate. But all right, I don't want to hold up your time anymore. It's a Saturday, man. You're the best. I'll be in touch, Ray. I couldn't get by without you.
Find a nice bus that you could get hit by, or like a slip and fall in a nice supermarket, a place with a lot of insurance. Those are softballs. Those we can hit out of the park. These are tough ones, man.
Don't be intimidated by the red and white checkered logo of that dog shit, all right? Later, brother.
Peace, Sebastian. Be well.
All right.
Pete Corielli is a husband, soon to be father and comedian. But most of all, he's the best goddamn huckster this side of the Mississippi.
So naturally, like that. The only thing I gotta bring up, man, I got a podcast. It's free, you can get it on iTunes. It's called The Pete and Sebastian Show, with a really funny comedian named Sebastian Maniscalco. You go to my website, PeteCorielli.com, and get it there. We do it once a week. We don't just babble and then record and turn it off. I mean, we got bits, we edit that shit. We don't waste your time. It's an hour every week of hilarity. Alright, there we go. I have to say that for a little. But I'm not selling anything. It's fucking free. It's free. It's free, right?
That's cool.
Right?
I saw that. You know I saw that.
The guy puts on a chapstick. See, right there, something like that. If I was out with my wife a little later on, I would go. Put the fucking chapstick on. And I go, I got a little gay. I was a little gay. The thing is, I don't even mean gay. Like, that's not even homosexual. I couldn't care less. Not that you are, bro. It doesn't matter either way. That's irrelevant. And he's not. He's a great guy. And he doesn't give a shit. My point is, my wife is always like, you know, you gotta stop using that word. It's not cool. I go, but I don't mean gay like that way. It's just like, it's something's gay. You know? And she goes, give me another example, because I don't know. I go, all right. It's gay that you get offended when I use the word gay. So I went online, because I'm like, I need a new word. And I went online to look up synonyms for the word gay. You know what's a synonym for the word gay? Bouncy.
By the way, huckster means salesman. I know. I had to look it up, too.
Germs, germs, germs. Everywhere, germs. Dirty, filthy germs.
We need your help, Sebastian. Could we go so far as to call you a germaphobe, or is that maybe a little much?
I don't think I'm a germaphobe. I'm just highly aware where germs exist and how to avoid those types of places.
Wow, that is so well put for what I set up here. I put together a few places over the course of the week. Nothing funny here particularly, just some places where and situations that everyday person may find themselves in. And I just wanted you, it's a little segment here, for our listeners, I'm going to give you some of these places, and this is right off the top of your head. I want you to tell us if there's really some genuine concern with germs in these particular situations, or no, we're all right, we don't have much to worry about. And if there are germs, any advice on how to deal with the situation?
Okay.
Fair
Let's
enough?
Let's do it.
I know how your future father-in-law loves to plan nights sometimes when the family gets together.
Yeah.
So he plans one night, everybody come, you'll just figure it out as we go along. You have a nice dinner, next thing you know, oh, he took everyone to a bowling alley. A bowling alley. We're going to have a big family tournament. I already have the teams decided. Everybody has to play. You go to get in, you sit down. Problemo, you're wearing loafers with no socks. You're not allowed to bowl in these loafers. They'll scuff up the floor. They give you bowling shoes. You got no socks. Do you put on the bowling shoes with no socks to be a trooper for the family?
I've had this situation happen to me. I bought socks. I had socks on. I bought their socks.
Oh, the bowling alley usually sells socks.
Yeah, they have socks. I bought their socks, put that sock on, and bowled with their socks in their shoes, and then after that, just burned the socks and put mine back on and walked out.
You bought their socks just to protect your socks. Not even to protect your feet. Are you hearing this, folks? This is what we're saying. Buy the socks to protect your socks. Double up. Okay, now, what's your take in church? If you ever want to do the blood of Christ I've noticed, especially, let's say you got a guy in front of you who you noticed maybe did a couple of those before he gets up and he sips the wine, and then the priest just does that ridiculous rub with the cloth as if everything is gone. Now, will you not ever do that, especially having been an altar boy, very church-going fellow like you? Will you gobble out of that wine?
No way.
No way.
I'm going right with the body. Body of Christ, forget the blood. Keep the blood.
And the body is put in your hand. He doesn't go near your mouth with those fingers.
No. Right in the hand, and I play priest.
Okay, so you're saying that wine could be a big fucking cup of disease.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how you don't walk away from church with the flu.
You're not going to eat, man. Yes!
So there's another one, a church pew by itself. Do you rub down where you sit in a church pew with your rubbing alcohol, or do you
that's to the next level of what I got. What I got doesn't go as far as that. Now, plain, I'll wipe it down, but I'm not bringing pads into the church and wiping everything off.
Is that insulting God on some level, saying your place of worship, Lord, is too dirty for me and my jeans?
I think so. I think it'd be offending the Lord, thy Savior.
Okay, now let's say you're in, right outside of St. Louis. Not even in St. Louis. You're in a Holiday Inn that's seen better days on the outskirts. Your back isn't feeling so good. You go down. They seem to have a hot tub that was built sometime around 1964. Will you go in a hot tub at a Holiday Inn that's been bubbling endlessly for the past 35 years on the outskirts of St. Louis?
No hot tubs. No, I generally do not use a pool and or hot tub at these hotels that I stay at while I'm traveling. Now, if it's a resort and it's one of these nice places, absolutely, I'll take a dip. I don't do outdoor pools, and I certainly don't do indoor pools.
And so the hot tub, whether or not you go in it, is directly related to the level of the hotel as a whole.
Absolutely. The hotel needs to be a very nice property. And I don't like hot tubs in general outside my own house.
Wow, have you ever been in a hot tub, though, like on a ski trip where you go in an outdoor hot tub in the middle of the winter with the snow all around you?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
That is fucking
great. Nice. That's a nice touch.
Yeah, man. My wife and I, we would do it on vacations like in Vermont where we'd go skiing. And the hot tub, it's got room for like four or five people. But when you're in there alone, we're not having sex or anything. We're just unwinding from skiing. And you see people come out with their bathing suit and their towel, hoping that there's no one in there, and you see them and they see you, and in your head you're like, keep fucking walking, keep walk, don't come in, don't you come in here, don't come. And then they just keep walking, and then you're like, you get out of here, that's good for you. And I do the same thing. I don't go in when someone's in there. I don't plop in and go, how's your vacation, so? Get the fuck out.
So no matter how many people the hot tub seats, you have it. If you're there first, you have the whole hot tub.
No, if it's a five-seater or less, back off. But it's one of these monster ones that are almost like a mini pool and you're all the way on the other side, that's no problem. I got no problem with that. But, for the most part, get out. I mean, I'm not going to be in here long. I'm going to be here 15 minutes. You come by, you'll see people, they bop out and you're making that decision. Do I go? And you're like, no, you don't. You don't. Yeah. Get out of here.
Yeah, wait your turn. I don't care how big the hot tub is. Wait your turn.
Yeah, and if I'm in there alone as a man, which is a rarity, I can't remember the last time I did that, and you're another man, don't even look in the direction. Yeah. Just keep walking.
Take a bath.
Take a bath, man. If I see a man in the hot tub, I won't use it for my whole trip, let alone at that moment. All right. How about a carnival comes to town, middle of the summertime. You're in shorts with some flip-flops, really exposed, man, really exposed, not in jeans or anything. Do you go on your basic carnival rides? Is there any problem with that? Amusement park rides?
I don't do rides.
Excuse me. You don't do rides?
I don't do rides. I don't go on rides.
Ever?
Never.
I mean, as a kid, did you?
No, I never did as a kid, and I don't do it as an adult.
You've never? Have you ever been on a roller coaster?
Once.
Oh. Once? What happened? Did you get raped?
I have a bad stomach.
What about a Ferris wheel? Nice, slow.
Nah, I don't do any of that shit. No Ferris wheel. Nothing where I'm going to be up in the air and then, you know. I have a fear of shit like breaking.
You know? What about a log flume?
The what?
A log flume.
I don't even know what that is.
Come on, bro. You don't know what a log flume is? It's the ride that looks like a log, and you get in and you float through the water. It's like almost like a roller coaster in water. I can't believe I'm fucking explaining a log flume right now. Holy sh...
Well, just say a water ride. Water ride I'll do.
But it's not really a water ride. It's found at your basic amusement park, not in the water ride section. It's a ride. It's supposed to look like a log.
And you get wet. You get wet?
Yeah, you get wet on the big down dip.
I'll do that.
You'll do that?
Okay. Yeah, I'll do that, but I don't do Ferris wheel. I don't do zipper. You know, that zipper thing where it puts you in a cage and you're flipping around. Hey, fuck that. Who wants to do that?
All right. Here's a good one, germ-wise. You're hanging out with John Legend one night, right? He invites you over, you and Lana, you're at the house. He's got a small intimate affair going on.
Yeah.
Unbeknownst to you, aside from being a massively talented piano player, he starts wailing away on his harmonica. Wailing away, man. And then, done. Finished with the song. He's sweating and everyone's applauding. And he hands you the harmonica and he's like, bang out a few notes. Come on, Sebastian. I know you got it in you. Do you just grab that harmonica and start blowing away? Or do you take out a wet nap and clean it up from John Legend just sweating away on that
First of all, this ain't even have to do with being a germaphobe. Anybody that takes a harmonica after somebody else and starts playing it has severe problems.
Really?
And I would go, first of all, I go, John, I don't know how to play the damn thing. And secondly, you know, it's your harmonica. It's something you don't borrow from people.
No, come on, we're all waiting, Sebastian. Bang out a
Nobody
few notes.
Nobody does that. Nobody gives the harmonica to somebody else to play. That's what I'm saying.
Dude, when I did a radio show with Brewer, one time John Popper came on, and he played, and he had a few harmonicas, and he would put them in each pocket of his shirt. And two guys on our show were musicians, and they played with him, right? And they did a song, and as soon as the song was over, and John Popper had been wailing away on both harmonicas, as the drummer was finishing up the tune, he took both hands and reached out both harmonicas that he had been playing from his pocket and just put them out like that and handed them to each guy from our show that was in the band. They each got a harmonica. Now, you're going to tell me for the rest of their lives, you know, you're not going to ever play that harmonica forever?
That's a showpiece. That should be encased in a box with a little little thing that says Popper's harmonica. That you don't play that.
No?
You don't play a harmonica from somebody else. It's an instrument that's very personal.
Holy shit, all right. I didn't know that, man.
A guitar, a drum set, yeah, but you're going to put a... That's like, come on.
You can clean it up a little bit with the you know, whatchamacallit. Alcohol, you put a little alcohol on it, and then you can play it, right? Or you just shouldn't at all, ever.
That's worse than taking the damn wine out of the goblet at the church.
Oh, really?
What's in there? There's something in the harmonica spit that's
yeah,
living
there's a reed.
In
there. Oh, bacteria.
Bacteria. Oh. It's like, right, if I clean the mouthpiece off my headset here, doesn't matter. It's this like the microphone. When you talk into the microphone on stage, take the top off and take a look, guy, at what's living inside the microphone. It's a petri dish.
As you know, and I know you know, we got a new pope, man. Luke, can we get the appropriate pope music right now? Perfect. Now, you're well aware of this, I would imagine, having been an altar boy for 3 years of your life, being a true full-blood Catholic. You know we got this Pope Francis. Do you know his real name? It eludes me right now.
That's all I know about the Pope, that we have a new one, and he's from Argentina.
Yes. Now, there's a couple of things I wanted to ask you, because, you know, this guy seems to be a really, really humble guy. All right? Like, first of all, I don't know if you heard about this Pope, but he kissed the feet of people with AIDS and blessed them, kissed their bare feet. Now, first of all, do you think if you never met Lana and you were an altar boy, and just pretend your life took another path and you got into this church stuff and you never let it go, being the kind of guy you are, do you think you would make a good pope?
To be honest with you, I think to be a good pope, you have to have... First of all, I think you need to speak more than one language.
Well, look, we could Rosetta Stone you in fucking a couple of days. Don't even worry about that. You'll be ordering cappuccino in three fucking languages by the end of the month, kid. First of all, could you kiss the... If they wanted to make you pope, and, you know, one of the things they said, show your humbleness, bless these people with AIDS and kiss their feet. Could you roll like that? 12 of them. 12 people. You're Pope, bro. You're a Pope. 1.2 billion people are following you. Do you set a precedent?
I think
you're
a germ guy.
You gotta kiss him. This guy, what?
It doesn't really matter what the person has disease-wise, because feet are not really in any correlation based on the disease, right?
Yeah, I'm already grossed out by feet. So
yeah, regardless, I don't like feet. But yeah, if I'm the Pope, I'm kissing feet, I guess. No. It's part of the responsibility. Is that in the job description?
Well, I mean, maybe all the other guys that were up for the Pope that didn't get the white smoke are all looking at each other now going, I should have kissed some fucking feet. I know. I knew I should have. You remember that time? You remember what I'm talking about, Father Tommy, when we were in the fucking thing and I had the chance? God,
so,
Ninga.
Do you think that plays in to whether or not he got the job or not? If they looked at all the resumes and said, Jesus, look at Francis. He's kissing feet over in Spain.
Yeah,
and then he's going to Italy, and then he's, you know, he took a baby off the street and gave it clothes and paid for its education. I mean, I don't know. What goes into getting a job?
Well, the second thing sounds like the Derek Jeter Foundation, let's be honest. I mean, what professional athlete isn't taking kids off the street and paying for their education? They all got charities. Carmelo Anthony does that to three kids a year. But the first thing with the feet, yeah, I do think the other Cardinals are in the room going, what do you think about that guy? What do you think about this guy? And then they're like, you saw those photos from 2001, right? And they're like, what are you talking about? Oh, you didn't see the photos? Oh, you got to see him. He's bent over and shit. He's kissing feet. Were they clean? No, they were dirty. They were dirty feet. Just kissing him. He goes, when he became Pope, you know, first of all, he still takes public transportation whenever possible, and he, like, doesn't do all these great things you can do. Even his first meal as Pope was, like, bread and fucking bland spaghetti. And that leads me to my question. Your first meal as Pope in the Vatican, your first meal, what are you eating? I mean, is that just another day? You are now Pope, bro. You're a god.
I am taking full advantage of all the Pope amenities.
That's what I'm saying. The robe, right? This guy wears humble fucking dress. He's the equivalent of, like, you know, Obama's wife wearing Gap. He's walking around in fucking bland robes. But you would do the real nice robe. Like, when people looked in the room, if they didn't know who the Pope was, they would look at your gown and go, oh, that must be him.
You know what? I might even revolutionize the Pope's wardrobe. I might be the first Pope to just wear a black suit everywhere he goes. I mean, come on, man.
I'm clapping. I'm laughing so hard. I'm clapping like a fucking audience member.
Oh, you're living in Italy. All right, you got access to all the top designers.
Yeah.
I mean, what's wrong with the Pope coming out in a black suit with a fedora?
Yeah, but what if? Hold up, that's a possibility. Security wise, that's great, because if you're trying to assassinate the Pope, you're just like, I don't know who's Secret Service and who's Pope. Everybody looks like everybody. Tommy's Billy, Billy's Johnny. Now here's the other question: what if Giorgio Armani, all the top designers came to you, all of them, and they took meetings with you as Pope, and they said, I want to make you a gown that would make Cleopatra look like a fucking peasant. Okay? Now my question is, which designer do you think you would give the contract to make the Pope's new gown?
First of all, I think I would make it cool to be wearing a gown.
And I believe
it. It might transcend into, you know, guys going out to clubs wearing gowns.
Why not? Right? Dude. You could do so much. You could do commercials with shaving commercials, but you're actually dipping your Bic razor into the holy water. And the whole campaign is get rid of that facial hair and get a little bit closer to God. Yeah.
I mean, what's wrong with sponsorship? The Pope doesn't have any sponsors, right?
I don't think so, man. Does he?
I don't know. I just feel like the Catholic Church maybe has to come up to date with possibly, you know, the Pope doing, you know, having like maybe like the NASCAR have yeah. some sponsorship on the right. road.
I feel like an agent, if he was talking to the Pope right now, he'd go, every time somebody gives the sign of the cross, a baseball player when he gets up to bat, a race car driver when he gets in the car, what if I told you could have a dollar every time somebody gives the sign of the cross? I mean, you're letting money slip away here, fella. Now, you didn't answer my question. What designer? You know, this is like Oscar night when, you know, all the designers want to dress you. Who's getting the contract for the gown for the Pope?
Since I'm looking at tuxedos for the wedding.
Yeah.
I like this guy, Tom Ford.
Oh, yeah, I heard of Tom Ford.
I think Tom Ford might design the gown.
Whoa, that would be a monster contract to get the Pope's gown.
I wonder who's making the Pope's gown right now. I wonder if there is a designer attached to that.
That should be our first guest. I was going to try to make our first in-studio guest Billy Gardell from Mike and Molly, but if we could get the designer of the Pope's gown, that would be nice.
And you bring up a good point with these guests. I just like to tell those listeners, I was telling you earlier in the week, not one guest on the show, except for a five-minute little snippet with J.J. Watt, I think the only podcast going right now that doesn't have a guest.
No. Look, if we had a guest on, that whole Pope bit would have been fucking butchered. I got some more Pope shit for you here, man. Now, you become Pope. Now you're going to kneel down for the first time ever as Pope alone in your Pope quarters, which are going to be obviously tricked out, as you said. And you're going to introduce yourself to God as his new right-hand man. How do you play that? I mean, this is huge. People listen to our show. Casting directors listen to our show. They look for improv. Scorsese banks on improv. Lou, can we get some pray music? God is in front of you. You are Pope. I want to hear what goes down.
I'm kneeling now. I'd say,
here we go.
Father, I appreciate you put me in this position. I won't let you down. Just give me the strength and the wherewithal to lead all Catholics all over the world. Amen. What are you going to say? Hey, I made it. I'm the Pope,
yeah, right.
Now what?
I guess, yeah. That's it, right?
That's all. I do the little prayer, have my moment with God. And then I'd start asking, like, what the benefits are for being a pope.
Well, how many, first of all, as a pope, do you think you can just, in the middle of the night, get a cappuccino and just go check out any piece of this, like the Sistine Chapel, any tomb, any nook and cranny of that Vatican is yours at any given time? You are
absolutely
the pope.
Absolutely.
Top secret documents from a zillion years ago, all that shit is the pope. Like, you know, they say, like, you know, our own president doesn't know about certain things.
Yeah.
But I mean, pope has the key to every nook and cranny of that Vatican, I would say.
I would think so. More importantly, aside from having a key to everything, are you aware of the salary of the pope?
I have no idea. I don't
Is
think
there
he,
one?
I don't think he gets paid, but it's for life. It's a lifetime gig, man.
You only... but there's no pay on the pope?
I don't think there's any pay, man, but it's tenure. As soon as you get the gig, you're tenured. Yeah.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, how did... If the pope wants to go down the street and get gelato, where's that coming from?
He ain't getting gelato. Come on, man. He says to a guy, I want some gelato.
Yeah, but somebody's paying for that. What I'm saying is, if he wants to buy a Ferrari, is that in the budget?
That's a good question. Like, can he say, I want a private jet? Now, I mean, I thought you were talking like a pack of juicy fruit, of course, whatever you want. But big high-ticket items, I don't know. How many days in a row would you wake up as the pope and still have that moment where you go, I can't believe I'm the fucking pope?
The whole time.
25, 30 years in, you'll still wake up and go, this is fucking crazy.
But why is the pope always older? Don't you think it'd be cool to get a guy in there in his mid-30s?
I think because if he turns out to be an asshole, at least his days are numbered. You know what I'm saying? You got a young guy in there, and after 3 weeks, you realize he's an asshole. You're like, oh, man, I got bad news and more bad news. He's a dick, and he's young. You get the call that you've just been named pope. You just get off the phone. Or they just come out of room and they tell you, now you got a cell phone. Lana, unfortunately, is not in your life because you're the pope. This is a different scenario. Who do you call first to tell them that you're pope? It's ridiculous. I'd be like, are you sitting down?
Including family on this?
Anyone in your life. Yeah, of course. Who do you call first?
I'd have to call my mother on that. That'd be a mother call.
Yeah, right?
Don't you go with the mom?
I would say I have to. Well, actually, I might go with my dad only because he's Italian and my mom's Irish, and I just feel like, for whatever reason, because it's in Italy, I just feel like the whole Vatican, it's an Italian thing. You know what I'm saying?
if they said to you, Pete, you're now pope, we do have a dinner with all the cardinals as a welcoming dinner. And it's a tradition that we only have you bring one guest to the dinner. Who do you bring to the first dinner with all the cardinals? Not family. You have to choose somebody outside your family.
Whoa, man. To meet the other cardinals?
Meet the other cardinals, get a tour of the thing. It's just like, you know, it's a VIP package for the weekend.
It sounds to me like it would be the absolute ultimate ticket for anybody to get beyond Super Bowl, beyond that, right? So I'd say I'm Billy Joel.
Wait a minute.
You said non-family, man. My best friend Larry's Jewish. It would be lost on him. So what do you want?
I'm thinking that you'd go with a friend. You're going to call Billy Joel's going to go, for what?
I'd be like, what do you mean, for what, piano man? It's the Vatican. I'm the pope. I shouldn't even have to ask. I kiss fucking people's feet with AIDS. Get over here.
Ha, ha, ha.
let's say a guy comes up to you, right? You were named Pope. And you know how they all go into the Sistine Chapel and they can't come out until they come up with a Pope and they vote like four times a day and stuff?
Yeah.
So you got to be all forgiving, and you got this side to you that I know about. Like, so this is why this makes this an interesting question, being an all-forgiving kind of person. Somebody comes up to you, another cardinal, and he goes, "Excuse me, Father Maniscalco from West Hollywood, I just want to say, when we were voting, I had my reservations about you, and I personally don't feel that you're the right candidate to follow through with our faith. And I fought tooth and nail to have you not become Pope, but alas, my efforts were for naught, and may God help us all. And I just want to say, be truthful with you, and now I wish you well." How do you respond to a guy who's basically saying, "This, you can't do this job, and we're fucked, but you got it anyway, so..."
I'd respond by saying, "You and your parish are going to have some problems."
You never let me down, bro. Well, anyway, let's hope this guy's good, right?
Yeah, I think he's a good Pope. I don't know much about him, but if he's kissing feet, come on.
That's it. You're kissing feet, man. You got the job. Done. Punch in Monday, 5 o'clock. Be here early. Don't complain about traffic. You know what it's like out there in Rome.
The show has ended.
Amusement park rides?
I don't do rides.
Excuse me. You don't do rides?
I don't do rides.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.